show, and today we're starting our, our introductory show on bbsradio.com. I am interviewing my co-host, Dr. Rick Klofein. Dr. Rick and I are members of Millennium Healthcare here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have been doing the radio show for, I don't know, about 12 years. Is that right, Rick?
I think it's been something like that. We did it for 3 or 4 years together and then took a break, and then over the last 7 years, we've done it together. So I think it's been something like maybe around 10 years, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Well,
so this is the inaugural show.
This is it.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for inviting me to be guest, Susan.
Well, I figured for our first show we ought to talk to each other since we haven't talked for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, you want to introduce Millennium Healthcare to our listeners a little bit?
Yes, I would. Thank
you. Okay.
So, Dr. Susan Kolb is our host today, and she's not only our host, she's our boss as well. Dr. Kolb's vision includes the establishment of 2 medical practices in town, 3 actually. Plasticose is her plastic and reconstructive surgery center. Dr. Kolb is board certified in plastic and reconstructive surgery. And I always follow that when I talk to people with the fact that that she is also board certified in holistic medicine, as I am. She's a holistic physician, and she's a spiritual healer. And her vision is her surgical practice and her beautiful Plasticose facility in Dunwoody. How many square feet is that facility, Susan?
It's 10,300.
Yeah, 10,000. Her surgery center's there, 4 operating rooms, 23-hour stay capacity, all certified, as well as her practice with her associate surgeons and the medical spa and all the other people that support her in that practice. And the other aspect of her vision is Millennium Healthcare, which is the group holistic practice I'm in. Millennium Healthcare is many practitioners, some full-time, some part-time, all under the banner of Millennium Healthcare and practicing under a unified vision of holistic care. Holistic care that honors and incorporates medical care at that aspect, and also honors and incorporates alternative medicine. That's something I'd like to talk about a little bit later. I'm Dr. Rick Klofein. I'm board certified OBGYN. So I've been in practice for 19 years here in Atlanta, and practiced most of those years over on the east side of town at the Cab Medical Center and Emory East Side Medical Center and North Lake Regional Medical Center, first in a small group, then I had my 8-year solo practice of obstetrics and gynecology. About 7 years ago, I stopped delivering babies, and then about a year later stopped doing surgery, and then stopped hospital medicine and joined Susan to practice holistic office gynecology. The bulk of my practice is caring for women, 40s, 50s, and 60s, going through and living in menopause, but I take care of women of all ages. We also have on board Millennium Healthcare family practice, Dr. Ford. We have Dr. Mike, who is chiropractic and allergy elimination. We have psychotherapist, hypnotherapist, massage therapist, traditional Chinese medicine. Help me here, Susan. There's a few, I know there's people I'm missing. And other practitioners that come together under the banner of Millennium Healthcare. So I feel very fortunate to have found a sort of a home for myself, because I need a medical facility to back me up, because I'm a physician. I practice medicine. I need to do lab tests. But I need a facility that honors and understands where I'm coming from, which is more than just conventional medicine. You understand that, don't you, Susan?
I think I do.
Yeah. So how long would you say that you've been have you practiced holistic medicine, been open to alternatives throughout your entire career, or did it come about as during your training? Or
well, I got stationed in Ohio.
You were a military physician.
Yeah, to do 4 years payback for the Air Force putting me through medical school. And Ohio, after I got my boards in plastic surgery, I was kind of bored, and
Bored after the boards?
Bored after the boards. Nothing more to shoot for, so to speak. And I started a metaphysical training, reading about spirituality and holistic medicine, and actually had some hands-on training.
So this was as a new physician, after
right,
your residency.
Right. So I didn't really incorporate it in my practice, but
yes.
I was learning
yes.
about all of the other, well, it's really a world view, to tell you the truth,
yes,
because
I agree.
If you have the world view that there are more than what your perceptual organs, like your eyes, ears, nose, you know, all of that can tell you, that there's really higher dimensions, and you start reading physics books and, you know, understanding that what you see and feel is not all that there is, then it leads you into a expanded worldview, which then expands your possibility of, as you like to say, tools in your toolbox.
Right. Yeah.
And so what happened with me was I was guided back to Atlanta, very strongly guided to Atlanta, which was interesting, and spent 2 years on the south side of town, and then was guided in meditation to quit that job, which was, I think my boss at that time was dumbfounded because I was so financially successful, he couldn't see how I could just walk away from that, but I was guided just, I mean, I follow my guidance based on just what I hear to do then. I don't always know what it's going to look like, you know, a year or two later. So I just quit my job, and I started meditating 5 to 7 hours a day. I worked with a group of clairvoyants very intently, like 3 times a week, to in meditation. And it's actually a spiritual study. It's not, you know, it's not religion. There are many different types of people in that group or different religions, but it was certainly the same expanded worldview and opening yourself up to kind of the gifts of healing and the gifts of even prophecy and the other gifts that that come with intense study. And with that came the gift of healing, which was, at first I didn't really understand it because you couldn't feel anything. But then later on, you know, you could feel really, really intense energy coming out of a hand that even the patient could feel, which is electromagnetic energy and gigahertz energy, as defined by Dr. Norm Shealy, who started the American Holistic Medical Association. So I think for me it was following guidance one step at a time, and I was actually off for about 5 months, and then when I came back into practice, I actually went into the office that you all are in, I
or
started
1867,
yeah. Millennium Healthcare until recently was in a separate office about a half a mile up the road. And from that office, I built the big center. And I was guided every step of the way. You realize that people were sent to me with the visions of the center, including the financing, and I had to do actually very little except for, you know, get out
of the way.
Well, yeah, and I did the decorating, and I did the, you know, I could do the ORs, because, you know, as
right,
a surgeon,
yeah.
You have to, the other people didn't know what I needed for that, but much of the actual contracting and the finances and everything were done for me without much effort on my part, and I think that that's an indication of being on the path that you're supposed to be on. People are sent to
getting
you
that
to
kind of support. I think it's interesting. Both of us are very naturally understanding and interested in the fact that how you set the physical space can make a huge difference. You know that from the way you decorated your center.
Yeah, yeah.
And how important setting that physical space is.
Well,
and, you know, I've always recognized that similarity in both of us, understanding of that. It's interesting how different physicians come to complementary and alternative medicine. So when I say for our listening audience, complementary alternative medicine, CAM, is the buzz term that includes all the other therapies that aren't taught in medical school, being used in a complementary fashion with medical care by physicians. The physicians who come into that worldview, as you said, sometimes there are physicians such as myself that sort of were there before they became physicians, And a lot of physicians, is a little different than you, you came about it through your own personal spiritual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of physicians who come to it eventually because of their dissatisfaction with the system.
And also their own personal or family members' experience.
Almost always with
an illness. And I wanted to say something at this point. I share in my, which you can find actually on the Millennium Healthcare website, www.templeofhealth.ws, the American Holistic Health Association president, Suzanne, asked me to write a paper on my guidance to build the center, to help other people build their centers. Mine is about the only one I think in the country that combines medicine, surgery, GYN and spiritual medicine. I think we don't have anybody else that's been able to do all of those. So my story.
And how long
so
have
speak,
you been open at Plastico?
Since 95.
Right. So I think that's the key point.
Yeah. So people come from all over the country to use a center from a center standpoint, opening an integrated medical center. So I wrote a paper which is up on my website. The Temple of Health, that's our website for the Millennium Healthcare Plasticos and the Avatar Cancer Center. It's a super site for all three. And if you go into Millennium Healthcare, the Integrated Medical Center, article is there. But essentially, I was guided to go to the Airport Vortex in Sedona when I was there for a conference. And I was given a vision for the center. And visions are interesting. Visions are not always what we want to see. Visions occur kind of outside of our desires a lot of times.
Yeah, but outside of our understanding a lot.
And outside of our understanding, yeah. But the vision that was given was that the center would be for the disasters. And that was about the guidance I got. I mean, I was given the vision of the center. I hadn't built it yet. This was in 1990 or 91. But I was told the center would be for the disasters. So what happened very soon after we opened was we started getting patients that were ousted from traditional medicine, in many different areas. Very, very difficult injuries, very difficult hand injuries that involve the arms, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, tenosynovitis, things that do not treat well, you know, or easily. You know, these people often have prolonged problems, very painful conditions. And then we started to see more and more women with breast implant problems, both silicone and then later saline, chemical and biotoxicity from actually all over the world. And so pretty soon all the patients started asking me to start a medical facility so that they could get family practice and GYN with the same worldview or philosophy of medicine. And that's when I opened, it was in 1998 that I opened Millennium Healthcare. And then in 1999, Avatar Cancer Center, which is actually not just for cancer, it's also for very difficult viral infections and other things that are going to have to really have answers outside traditional medicine because they're just simply not traditional diseases. And so, you know, we've had success in treating more difficult diseases, the weaponized mycoplasma, and we would, you know, Rick, we wouldn't have been able to treat these diseases if we hadn't this radio show, because this radio show allowed us to interview the people who were, especially the doctors and the researchers like Dr. Garth Nicholson that were studying these diseases and frankly telling us how to do it.
What better way to research a topic than to just have the expert on and talk to them for an hour?
Yeah, I mean, we learned about all sorts of things. You remember all the interviews we did with all the different people who were exploring. You know, Dr. Staninger with Morgellons disease, Dr. Garth Nicholson with weaponized mycoplasma or Gulf War syndrome. You know, just on down, all of the difficult diseases that we treat, we got the... You know, the ideas for how to treat from people who were on the cutting edge. Now, this isn't in textbooks and this isn't even in papers. The papers, the scientific papers come out much later. So, we call this synthesis medicine. We synthesize what the leaders all over the world have to say about holistic cancer. And we interview people from all over, and then we take their ideas, and especially Rick knows we do this, we actually try to understand the whole aspect of disease. What parts are physical, what parts are emotional, what parts are mental, what parts are supramental or archetypal, and then what parts are spiritual. Because believe me, there are spiritual aspects to some diseases that if you do not address the spiritual aspect, you will not address the disease.
So this brings up what I see as a split between conventional medicine and what we'll call, just for argument's sake, complementary alternative medicine or alternative mm-hmm. medicine. Conventional medical science is limping. It has one leg, a scientific leg, a rational mind leg, a reductionist approach leg that's very long. And those things aren't necessarily bad, especially the science aspect, very long. But their understanding of the connection to other levels of experience energetically and to personal experience and the archetype is like so short that it's limping around. And the alternative medicine community sometimes is a little bit the opposite,
mm-hmm.
where their leg of the understanding of the art of healing is very long and huge, but their science leg sometimes is shaky or very stubby, and
mm-hmm.
they're limping around. And that's why it's important, I think it's important to have holistic physicians who are sitting sort of in the center who can, like, have the big view of both aspects of the spectrum without prejudice and without, seeing the pros and cons on both sides. And I think that that's part of what happens in your center that makes it very unique, is that it's ready to see the good and bad, on both sides.
I think what we're doing too, I'm still having things happen in my world of experience that I'm trying to understand.
That's good.
Yeah. As people may not know this, but Rick is actually my GYN doctor, so he knows some of my medical history. I was sitting in my chair watching TV in my, about midnight, two nights ago, and all of a sudden my body started vibrating. I mean, just vibrating like I was in the chair was vibrating, but it wasn't the chair, it was my body. And it took me by surprise, and I lifted up my left hand, and there was an energy coming out of that hand that was vibrating me. It was so intense. I had no idea what this was. I told some people at work, and one of my employees said, well, maybe it was that energy was coming from a higher level in order to heal your uterus. So, I don't know what it was for, but it lasted about 10 minutes. And this is the kind of energy, though, that we know has been studied by scientists like Valerie Hunt, who's a physiologist at UCLA, who we've had on the show, and Dr. Norm Shealy, who's the founder of the American Holistic Medical Association, and he's studied hundreds of healers who have this kind of energy come out of their hand. And the point is, there are things occurring now that I don't have explanations for. I think this is the same energy that Dr. Shealy measured. And, I think that there are, changes occurring that are occurring in all of us. I think we are all becoming much more intuitive. I think we are all becoming, much more empowered to use these healing gifts. And the medicine is going away. I'm not sure where it's going, but it's certainly changing. And so what we're trying to do is understand what this is. I mean, but like two nights ago, something happened that it took me by surprise. So
that's pretty interesting, because
it is.
I would think that there's probably not a whole lot of stuff that really takes you qualify to.
No, but there's changes happening, Rick. There's changes in. I can just feel them. I mean, I think that we are entering a new realm of opportunity for healing that has not been experienced, at least by most of us. I mean, there may be healers, you know, in different parts of the world, the shamans that we've interviewed and everything, but it would be interesting to see if the healers themselves are having, some surprises. But I don't know. I think that medicine is going to continue to explore the science of this energetic medicine. And that's what we're interviewing. Here's the book right here. We're interviewing Irvin Laszlo,
right.
Science in the Akashic Field.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in about 3 weeks. Now, Dr. Laszlo has been nominated for 2 Nobel Peace Prizes, and this is Science in the Akashic Field, the Integrative Theory of Everything. Now, this is very, very important stuff to understand what I just told you about my experience 2 nights ago. You see?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have experiences, and then you have theories, and then in order to build new paradigms of medicine, you have to put your experiential world together with the ever-changing worldview. So that's what we do with the show.
It's interesting talking to so many different people about similar things, getting different perspectives. You start to feel threads and themes running through the conversations that are you know, archetypal. It's the whole thing we've spoken about in the past. When you start to read the new physics and you read the ancient indigenous people's medicine, or you hear their medicine, it all starts to sound very similar.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have one of my favorite interviews lately was Kenneth Smith, where we interviewed him on, you and I had interviewed him on his book as Kenneth Eaglefeather.
Right.
That was like on the Toltec Path or Toltec Dreaming, one of the Toltec books. But then he wrote another book, Awakening the Energy Body, that he
right.
wrote as Kenneth Smith.
Right.
And this was so fascinating to me because a lot of the shaman traditions are very experiential. There, and then a lot of the theoretical physics, the zero-point fields, these people are the scientists in the universities, and that's very theoretical. Well, Kenneth has written a book that bridges the two, and it's just really neat. As I said before, I think we are all having experiences that then we have to understand in this greater worldview of the Akashic field, of the zero-point energy field in quantum theory. And Temple of Health has interviewed Dr. Amit Goswami about 5 or 6 times on his evolving theories of quantum physics theory to explain some of these phenomena. But I think what we're seeing is the merging of the indigenous shamanic, you know, some of it is even there are Christian groups that have similar experiences. There are Buddhist groups. In every religion that there is, there's certain groups that have more experiential things with speaking in tongues or doing group healings or whatever. But bridging that onto science, and that's what I see. What you and I and other people at Millennium Healthcare are most interested in is trying to advance the science, advance spiritual science into medicine.
I think it's only in our generations, in our current time, that we've had the opportunity to hold a worldview, to raise up against. Above just our local culture to look at all phenomena such as this against a worldview. So we look at shamanism, and Michael Harner writes a book about the way of the shaman, which is about cross-cultural shamanism.
Right.
Because
yeah.
after looking at all the different indigenous shamanic traditions, there were certain threads that didn't matter which continent they came from or which how they were colored by that particular culture
mm-hmm.
or that particular historical period that were the same.
Right.
But, of course, you can't have that view until technology has advanced far enough
mm-hmm.
that That's you can true. Accurately study world cultures.
Right.
All around the world. It's only within our generation.
Well, we had the Internet within our
yeah.
generation.
Yeah.
I mean, that changed a lot of things with communication.
Oh, my God.
And who knows what's next?
When I think about all the time I spent in the library in college
mm-hmm.
writing papers, I mean, when we wanted to write a paper, we would go, I mean, we would
get
be
stacks
in the
of books.
yeah. That's the only place you could find any of the information, you know.
And most of the books were in other libraries that they had to borrow.
Yeah.
Your
yeah,
journals, they didn't have them.
Forever in the library going
yeah.
through the stacks. And
now, right.
now
you Google it.
That's
new
like
word,
ancient.
Google it.
That's like ancient. The library's on my desk now.
Right. Right.
You know, it's like amazing.
Well, how many times, I mean, I'm in the room with a patient, and I have an idea, like sleep paralysis. Okay, let me go Google it. And I Google it, and
absolutely.
Then I come up, well, try this, this, and this, three supplements. The patient calls me back, guess what? No more sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, think about that. I have no idea, you know, except I can look. I can see what, you know, I can see what other people are using
yeah,
and having success
on a daily
with.
Basis when people come in and say that they're taking something.
Mm-hmm.
And
you go Google it.
Yeah, you can immediately find out what the ingredients are.
And what's so important, too, is to find out if there's any drug-herb or drug-supplement or drug-drug interactions, because that has always been a bugaboo in my
right.
book, because they're not, I mean, the pharmacists sometimes have computer programs that look at that, but we don't have access to that unless we go to the Internet.
Right. And
the PDR doesn't have all of them.
There are so many drugs. And
yeah.
so many supplements, you know.
It becomes a mathematical problem.
yeah.
yeah.
And, you know, I think it's, you know, in all fairness, I think it's, I think I should point out to our listening audience that there, you know, the use of prescription medication by conventional medicine in this country is one of the areas that the system's very broken. Because doctors have so little time that all they have time to do is to prescribe medicine. And so many prescriptions, polypharmacy in the elderly. I'm not against prescription medicine. I think my prescription pad's sacred to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sacred. There's things I can do with my prescription pad I know no other way to do. And, of course, there's things I'll do with natural healing I'll never do with my prescription pad. But I think the way the conventional medicine is playing with that tool is not very good.
And I
think the whole, let me just mm-hmm. finish, the whole thing about the pharmaceutical industries and about what's driving research and
mm-hmm.
their influence, it's all a big deal. I need to also point out the counterpoint to that,
mm-hmm.
which is where I'm heading to my point, is that there's also issues with health food stores and the supplement industry
mm-hmm.
In creating angst and cultivating issues and hyping issues
mm-hmm.
because it sells supplements and so forth. So, I mean, it's human nature to a degree.
Yeah, I think one of the major problems is the specialization of medicine. If you have a internal medicine doctor, a GI doctor, a cardiologist, and a GYN doctor, which most people have if they have health concerns, there's a lack of communication amongst those groups, and one person has you on three medicines, the other on two. They don't know, their patients don't always remember all the medicines they're on or forget to tell you, and we need some sort of tracking system. In the military, we had one chart that went with the patient no matter where they went. And so you always had all the information about what all the other doctors were doing.
Yeah, well, that's the military.
yeah.
That'll
well,
never,
you know.
That'll
never
happen in real life.
It might, though, with electronic medical records.
People are so different. They want to, you know, doctors want to do it, you know.
But you know, there are practical issues like that, not knowing
in my personal
everything
experience, that's been made worse through the years that managed care came in. So in the very early 90s when I started in medicine, when I wanted a patient to consult a particular physician or particular specialty, you know, gastroenterology, let's say, I knew the two gastroenterologists that I liked.
Right.
And that my patients liked.
Right.
And I could send them to those doctors, and they could go to those doctors, and it would all be okay. And
you get a report back.
And the communication about medicines and things like you're talking about was much easier.
Yeah.
Not perfect. But as managed care came in through the 90s, you no longer had the opportunity to do that.
No.
Because it was dictated by who was on the plan.
Right.
And
you didn't
know.
And
even if you developed relationships with people on the plan in that way, it was changing. Plans were changing. So frequently they were picking up doctors and dropping doctors.
Right.
You know, that it completely destroyed all of that kind of referral pattern stuff.
Yeah, it did. That's true. So, you know, we've gotten where patients can be on multiple pharmaceutical agents, multiple supplements. It can become a real problem when you're trying to figure out what they need to stop before surgery. You know, there's just a lot more complexity in the practice of medicine, probably than there used to be, as more drug-drug and drug-supplement interactions have come up. But, you know, it's just one of the many challenges that we have.
You know, I'm always really thankful that I'm a physician. Even though we have faced all these issues, people used to say to me, how could you stand going to the hospital? How could you stand going to the hospital to take care of people? People who were like really down on hospitals or down on medicine, maybe didn't understand. And I would always say to them, well, you know, the hospital is far from a perfect place. You never want to be in a hospital if you can help it. That is not a good place to be. The whole trend towards early discharge in general is a good thing, although pendulum swung a little bit too far.
Too far, yeah.
You know, but you want to get out of the hospital as fast as you can. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to hang out there. But at the same time, how honored I felt and how sacred I felt the hospital was, where I could take people and take care of them and do things to them that I knew no other place I could take them. People were really sick, needed emergency surgery, emergency medical care, intensive care. What a blessing that there was some place that you could go and do that, and actually do it.
True.
You know? And that, you know, that to me, that made those places like, with all their, not discounting all their problems and blah, 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 hello. But I mean, it's like, you know, I felt so honored, you know, to be able to, like, you know, do that. Because with surgery, you can, just like the prescription pad is sacred, you can do things with surgery that you cannot do any other way.
Right. That's true.
And there are times when that is the healing. Now, when the tool of surgery is misused, we could use the example of hysterectomies through the 60s, 1960s, 70s, especially through the 70s and 80s. Waning in the 90s and continuing to wane, the use of unnecessary hysterectomy. So when I was a medical student in the 80s, the gynecologist, I went on some rotations, a routine regular gynecologist, OBGYNs, you know, routine suburban. This was outside of Philadelphia, OBGYNs. And, man, they were doing hysterectomies left and right. I'm telling you, their schedules were filled up, and it was all for, like, pelvic congestion.
Right.
Irregular bleeding.
Bleeding, right.
Pelvic pain. Well, those are all proper indications, but I mean what they were calling pelvic congestion. And at the first sign of irregular bleeding.
Right.
And at the little, some crampy periods.
Anything, yeah.
Anything. It was unbelievable.
There was an old joke, you know, the indication for hysterectomy?
Yes. I do, but you can give the punchline.
Let's see if I remember it. It's a uterus and a Blue Cross Blue Shield card.
Right, yeah. So, you know, so it's like, you know, it, and of course, the, this misuse was recognized. It was recognized by the public, and then it was eventually recognized by the profession. And, you know, and it shifted things because this was a misuse of the tool. This was a wounding. This was,
and
in many cases, this surgery ended up being a wounding.
Right.
And it's not always, when women are wounded by their experience in surgery, it can be because it was the wrong surgery or because somebody did something wrong and there was malpractice or something like that. Or it may have nothing to do with that. The surgery could be totally the absolutely correct surgery that was carried out meticulously and in the medical care in every way being perfect. But the energy and attitude around the surgery.
It's very important.
Communication or lack of communication around the surgery is what ended up wounding.
And how the patient feels about it. That's the feeling nature of, if, you know, you can have a surgery and you can feel that it's the best thing in the world. You can have a surgery and feel it's the worst thing in the world. And it can be the very same surgery with the very same outcome.
That's right.
And how
that's
you feel about it really, really does matter.
Right. That's the difference between healing and curing.
Right.
The healing, you become more whole through the process. The curing, well, maybe the disease is cured.
Yeah.
You could even be wounded by the curing.
Right. You can't.
You know.
Chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Good example.
And so, you know, hysterectomy developed a reputation as the pelvic wounding. Hysterectomy is pelvic wounding. Well, I have women throughout my practice when I was doing surgery all through the 90s in my practice here in Atlanta, I would have women come in who really needed hysterectomies, who I had to spend a lot of time with. Educating them and bringing them around so that they could understand that hysterectomy is just the tool and the way it's used is what makes it the healing or the wounding.
Right.
All
right.
The hysterectomies I did through those years were all healing surgeries.
Right.
You know, they weren't wounding surgeries. It all depends on the tool. You take the tool out of the kit. You take your a knife out of your kitchen drawer. Feed your family with it, cut your food, chop your vegetables, carve a beautiful sculpture, or hurt somebody or kill somebody with it, right? Such a tool.
The intent behind it.
But even when you use it in a good intent and properly, who have you ever met any adult who never cut their finger chopping vegetables?
No.
Right? Even when you use it right, that you got to be careful.
Yeah, you do.
Right? There's pros and cons. It's sharp.
Yeah.
You could hurt yourself even using it right. Using prescription medicine and surgery, it's the same way. Using energy medicine, manipulation, and herbs, same deal. Doesn't make any difference which the tool is.
Tool's a tool.
Yeah. Of course, some have bigger, wider safety margins than others. So when you compare herbs to drugs, drugs are very powerful. They're isolated by man and made strong.
They work quicker in those cases.
Yes, they're made strong, so that that means that since they're strong, there's a slimmer margin of error compared to herbs.
Right.
Herbs are formulated by Mother Nature. They're meant to be your allies. They don't have to necessarily work overnight. You spend some time with them, you know. And they, but, you know, almost all the herbs that they sell in the health food store, there's such a huge margin of error that even if somebody goes in there and takes three times too much for the wrong reason, it's unlikely they're going to hurt themselves, seriously.
That's
they may not get helped.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can go to a commercial break for a minute.
Yes.
See if that's possible, and we'll come back in just a minute with some announcements.
Sounds good to me.
You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plasticos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plasticos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plasticos?
Plasticos is in Dunwoody. Plasticos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plasticos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally.
Don't you just hate trying on bathing suits? Wait a minute. You look great. Plastic surgery?
Not surgery. I got an endermology treatment from the experts at Plastikos.
What's endermology?
Endermology is the terrific non-surgical treatment that Europeans have been using for years to tone skin and contour the body. Endermology by Plastikos feels great, and you can see the difference it makes.
No kidding. Who do I call?
Plastikos, a leader in plastic and reconstructive surgery, is the number one center in Atlanta offering endermology. For more information and a complimentary consultation and treatment, call Plastikos at 770-457-4677. Plastikos Endermology Skin Toning and Body Contouring, 770-457-4677.
Hello, this is Dr. Susan Colvin. I'm here with my guest and usual co-host, Dr. Rick Clofine. We have a few announcements before we continue. We have a newsletter that is available at www.plastikos, that's plastikos.com. Every month we have a new newsletter with a lot of interesting information. Our November calendar of events has the radio show guests on it, and other than in November and December, the Noetic Science, which is the third Thursday, that guest and what they'll be speaking on. Next week we have Dr. Yalise and Dr. Murphy, who are two practitioners. One is a plastic surgeon and hand surgeon, and the other a traditional Chinese medical doctor, which we'll be interviewing them on Temple of Health radio show on non-invasive cosmetic treatments and anti-aging, as well as acupuncture for pain conditions. On the 15th, we'll be interviewing Dr. James Oshman, who has a book called Energy Medicine and Therapeutics in Human Performance. Dr. Oshman is one of the scientists I was telling you about earlier in the show that is exploring the higher spiritual sciences and linking them to regular science. And then we have Irvin Laszlo, Science in the Akashic Field, on the 22nd. And we will be, you will be able to hear this bbsradio.com or on our a live link to plastikos.com. We will then, within a few days, have the audio shows up from the previous Saturday available to be downloaded and listened to anytime at plastikos.com. So that will increase the availability of the shows for listening if you're not if you're busy at noon on Saturday. So we're back with our guest, Dr. Rick Clofine. Rick, I think we have probably about around 8 or 10 minutes. Is there a particular topic you'd like to address before we leave the air today?
There's several actually topics that we could touch upon. One is, I'd like to describe for the listening audience what they might expect from their physician when they go to see their physician.
Mm-hmm.
But what they might expect from their massage therapist when they go see their massage therapist, or their reflexologist, or their acupuncturist, or their gastroenterologist, or their, because there's certain things that I think they should expect from their interaction with these professionals,
uh-huh.
whether it's your cardiac surgeon or your massage therapist,
right.
that I think that you should expect to see if it's a relationship that you're going to benefit from,
mm-hmm.
I think you should expect to see. And that I encourage people that if for some reason that, you know, they're not feeling well about these things, that they really consider about whether they should see another physician. So I have some ideas.
Okay.
This is a concept of holistic medicine. But these are things that should be applied to anybody. Like if you go in to see a doctor or whatever type of professional that
mm-hmm.
you see, the first thing is that I think the relationship should be a horizontal relationship, not a vertical relationship.
Mm-hmm.
As a partnership together. You know, it's been many years since medicine used the daddy figure that the doctor, when I was a little kid, the doctor just told you, here, take this. You don't ask them. You didn't ask no questions.
Right. He went and took it.
You know, right. Whatever they said,
right,
they didn't explain
right, yeah.
anything.
No, they didn't.
They just said, here, do this.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, because they were up on a pedestal and it was vertical care. Well,
right.
we're over that.
Yeah.
And if you're ever feeling that from somebody, then I think something's not right. There should be horizontal care, partnership care
mm-hmm.
Between you. I think that the care should revolve around your story, the patient's story.
Mm-hmm.
So if all of a sudden you're sitting with somebody and like already they've decided what you need and what they're going to do before they even heard your story,
right?
Something's not right there. They do exactly the same thing for every single person.
Mm-hmm.
Something's not right. That like doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that patients should make sure that the care revolves around their story. I think that the care should hopefully not involve dogma, but encourage options. So the care should encourage options and avoid dogma.
Mm-hmm.
That means when somebody presents you what to do about a situation,
mm-hmm.
most of the times there's options of ways to go about achieving a result.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when I offer patients very few options. There's times when I see a patient, I think they need something that's very serious, and I just tell
mm-hmm.
them, I think this is what you need. It's true.
Right.
But it's not very often that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if the practitioner has in their mind that there's only one way to deal with a particular issue,
mm-hmm.
given some exceptions, I think that that's a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should really think about that relationship with that person. I think when you leave that person's office, you know, even if you've received bad news, you should have some reassuring aspect to that visit.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you receive bad news, the reassuring aspect is that you're leaving with some type of idea of the plan of what you need to do.
Right.
Even if it's just, you need to go see this person about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you just leave feeling bad, you go to somebody's office and you leave just like, you know, they made you feel really bad. They didn't
mm-hmm.
honor you or respect you. Right? Just like anybody you would expect to talk to you, right?
Yeah.
Talk straight to you. Tell you what the deal is. I'd expect that from anybody. At the same time, I think on the part of the patient, one of the best things they can do to encourage a healthy relationship is to have proper expectations about what that practitioner can and can't do for you.
Mm-hmm.
What that means, if you're a holistic organic person and you need to see a cardiac surgeon because you've got a bad valve
mm-hmm.
that needs to be replaced, let's say, as an example, that it might be unreasonable expectations to expect that cardiac surgeon to be holistic.
Right.
And to understand these herbs that you're going to take and expect
right.
them to read about the alternative therapies that you're going to do and learn that. That's not who they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they've chosen for themselves in their life.
Right.
But they can be part of your holistic team and be a healing partner
mm-hmm.
if you go to them expecting them to be a good cardiac surgeon.
Right.
That would mean meet all the criteria that I just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be a healing partner. But because If they go expecting them to be a holistic cardiac surgeon, then everybody's disappointed.
Right.
The patient's disappointed because the cardiac surgeon can't meet their needs. The cardiac surgeon doesn't want to hear it. He's got, like, you know, 30 more people to see.
All right.
You know, that's not who he is. He isn't doing that. That's not what he chose for his life,
right,
or her life.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not happy because I sent the person over there because I got a bad valve, and then they're back in my office. So what am I going to do for their valve?
Right. Right.
Because other proper expectations would be not to expect me to take care of their valve.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
so
he's
I'm
never
the holistic gynecologist.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's hard sometimes for holistic people and organic people because once they find a physician who's open-minded and speaks their language and understands their world,
right,
it's such a blessing to them because that's few and far between.
Right. That's true.
You know, so they just want you to take care of everything because they don't want to go see somebody else.
Right.
So many women come into my office, and the story is the same over and over again. Yeah, this is my first exam in 5 years. I just, like, couldn't go back to the doctor. It's not that they couldn't afford it. Some of them have insurance.
Right.
They just had bad experiences.
Right.
Around something or other, you know? Which is not hard in today's medical setup. Everybody goes to the doctor's office. It's so busy, it's, you know? And it's hard for doctors. I don't think doctors like it either. And they come in and they say, you know, they want to come in because they want somebody who speaks their language, but they want conventional medical care too.
Yeah, well, I think that's why integrative medicine is becoming more and more seen. I would say popular, but it's really that more and more people are
demanding it,
and doctors are interested in it because it's frankly not boring. I think a lot of people get into integrative medicine because they're bored with traditional medicine. It's just got a few tools. It doesn't have as many. They want more tools in their toolbox, as you say.
The more popular it becomes, and the more it becomes apparent that there's a market to support you in doing that, and the more science has turned out, the bigger the circles are of people who are doing it, the easier it is for people to sort of step into it. I think that's helpful. And I think consumer demand drives a lot of this as well. One example, when I was a medical student, early 80s, all the hospitals I went to treated childbirth in multiple states, treated childbirth to surgery. When the woman was ready to push the baby out, you took her and at the worst possible time,
put her to sleep.
You took her and moved her over to an operating room and made her get on an operating table and stirrups, and you draped her like for surgery. You know, it was like the worst thing in the world, in my opinion. And then when I was a resident in OBGYN in 85, there was one group in South Jersey, three hospital university system. There was one group that was started to do natural childbirth. They were doing daddy deliveries where the daddy could help out, and they were delivering women in their bed, in the room, instead of taking them into the, and it created a huge controversy.
Right.
And they were going to cause all sorts of problems and hurt these women, and all the other doctors were like down on this group and wanted to kick them out of the hospital and, you know, I mean, this is bad. They were doing it because they were hip. They wanted to do it, but because women were demanding it. 3.5 years later, when I was a senior resident, almost everybody in all three hospitals were offering very similar services. Because that group got so popular.
Right.
And got so busy.
Yeah.
And it became so clear, not just that it was happening, not just at that hospital, but all over, that that's what people wanted, period. That everybody came around.
Well, Rick, I think we're at the end of our hour. I would like to invite people to go to our website at www.templeofhealth.ws. There's a wealth of articles there. Dr. Klofein, myself, other practitioners have put up articles and other things that can help you with issues in your health care. And I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Susan. I'd also like to give my personal web address.
Sure.
For anybody who's interested, that's www.omdoc. That's me, A-U-M, Om, doc, like doctor, A-U-M-D-O-C.com.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and we will be back next week at noon on BBSRadio.com.
Have a great day.